Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Harry Milas is in our studio, Australia's leading sleight-of-hand artist and magician. I saw his show last night. I will say this, as I did to Bob Surratt this morning, that the cost of the ticket is the best entertainment value I would put on any show I have seen in Chicago in a very, very long time. I was spellbound. This man's personal story is an amazing story, and his show is fascinating, and he's in our studio. I know this is radio, but wait till you hear him, and then we'll post a video after the show so you can see a little bit of what we're talking about. But my wish for you is that you go see his show while it is in town until May 19th, and then he's gone. I'll tell you how to get tickets and about this show. He's in our studio after this.
The EPA reports the air we breathe in our home is more polluted than the air outside. The healthy solution? Green Tea Services Air Duct Cleaning.
Service to a green tea.
Hi, this is Tonya Khoury, owner of Green Tea Services. Our Green Tea Air Duct Purification System thoroughly cleans all your intakes, returns, and furnace. You'll breathe fresh, healthier air.
805 Green Tea.
Green Tea has the highest BBB rating. Our crews are bonded Green Tea employees you can trust in your home. We'll clean your air ducts of dust and allergens so your family breathes clean air. Now get our $97 special. Yes, only $97. Plus our 100% satisfaction Green Tea guarantee. Call Green Tea Air Duct Cleaning now for details. 800-5-GREEN-TEA.
Green Tea Services. Service to a
green tea.
800-5-GREEN-TEA.
800-5-GREEN-TEA or greenteaservices.com.
Your neighbor Judy loves the springtime in Chicago, but she hates to paint, so she called Rhino Shield.
After having the house painted with kind of usual house paint, I was seeing cracks appearing about every 3 years and just wasn't very satisfied with that.
And Rhino Shield comes with a 25-year warranty and is formulated specifically for our unique climate here in Chicago.
I can't speak highly enough about the Rhino Shield crew. They also were great at working with me to get the exact right color because I was very particular.
Great news, Chicago. You can get Rhino Shield right now for 15% off the regular price.
I would not hesitate to call Rhino Shield, and I am just thrilled to recommend Rhino Shield to my friends and neighbors and family.
This offer is for a limited time, so call now, 847-850-1132, 847-850-1132, or ChicagoRhinoShield.com.
No pain, go Rhino Shield!
There's a reason people sold to Grandview Homes instead of using a real estate agent.
The process with Grandview was virtually effortless. They give you a fair price offer, close quickly, and pay promptly.
Visit GrandviewHomes.com to discover the easiest and fastest way to sell a home.
Want to catch some catchphrases?
Oh, yes, Master.
Jeepers, jeepers, jeepers.
Here's Johnny. You won't be able to get them out of your head.
Nano, 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 nano.
She can kick my grand.
Oh, my stars.
And that's a good thing.
God will get you for that.
Catch classic catchphrases all day long on Antenna TV.
Good night.
Harry Milas is in our studio, Australia's leading sleight-of-hand artist and magician, it says here. I saw his show last night, The Unfair Advantage, playing in Steppenwolf's Merle Reskin garage space. It's just a little edge theater right off the main theater to the left there. You can get tickets at unfairadvantage.show. It runs through May 19th, and then it's done. Unfair Advantage. Dot show. Welcome to Chicago. Welcome to WGN.
It's a pleasure to be here, really. It's a pleasure. I mean, it's great being here looking out at the river, looking at the city from this angle. It's really cool.
We're 18 stories up in the WGN radio studios at 303 East Wacker. Have you been to Chicago before?
No, this is my first time in Chicago, yeah.
Oh, do you like our city?
I have been telling everyone that Chicago is my favorite American city I've been to so far.
How many have you been to so far?
A couple. I've been to some of the greatest hits, but I feel like Chicago, I mean, it's a show town. Like, you can come here and do a show and people want you to do a good show, right?
What is the show that you do?
The show I do is, it's kind of a mix between magic and this other world that I come from, this gambling world that I have a history in. So it's a close-up show. It's for 35 people around a card table with me.
It is so intimate.
Mm,
the sellout is 35 people, and there were probably 34 people at the show I was at last night. Mm. You and I are sitting maybe 4.5-5 feet apart.
Yes.
I was even closer to you and the table when you did the show last night.
And I noticed you edging your chair closer and closer as the show went on as well.
I wasn't alone, because you just couldn't believe what we were seeing, which could be described as card tricks.
Yeah, for sure.
But you mentioned gambling, so let's start there. How old are you, if I may?
I'm 33.
You quit gambling at what age?
18, which is the legal gambling age in Australia.
When you could begin to gamble legally,
yes,
you were bounced out.
Yes.
Just tell me a little bit of that
story. Well, I bounced myself out. I mean, so, like, my original origin story when it comes to my relationship to, like, a deck of cards, so to speak, is the first thing I started learning was gambling moves and cheating moves. And that was through a story that I tell during the show, kind of how I... it's really thanks to my mum that I got access to books that had information about cheating at cards. And it's just something that I completely enveloped me for the first chunk of my life.
At the age of 13 or 14 or 15.
Yeah. I mean, even younger. Like, I think I really started to think about it and work on it from about 10.
So kids have little hobbies and they pick up, as you said, an amateur, maybe magician's kit. Then they lose interest. You didn't lose interest.
I found it and then I stayed on. That's the joke, is that all my friends got a magic kit like I did, but then they moved on to trucks and dinosaurs. And
so then how old were you when you actually became adept at it, when you were wowing people?
Probably closer to 20, I would say, because that's mainly because I didn't do it to perform until about 20.
Oh, prior to that, you were doing it to cheat at cards.
That's right, yeah.
Were you actually making money cheating at cards?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I wasn't about to buy a house or anything, but I could pay for me and my friends on a night out based off a night of doing that.
Describe a scene to me where that would have happened.
It's all backroom games, which, like, every city on the planet has a million backroom games. You just got to know where to find them and how to get in. And I wanted to play poker, mainly Texas Hold'em. I was also learning how to card count at the time, so sometimes I'd pop to the casino and do that.
And you would win when you were playing with these backroom games.
I always feel compelled to say, like, I was good, but I wasn't yet great. Like, I think if I'd stayed with it as time gone on, I would have potentially started to break in serious.
Did you have
money.
A call to conscience?
No. No, because, like... you know, these backroom games serve a lot of different functions anyway. It's not exactly part of the regular economy. You kind of find your own world in there.
What would you be doing to gain an advantage in a backroom card game?
Kind of depends on the game, depends on the style of play. The most common version of play that I had was, like, what's called pass play, which is, that's what we call it in Australia, but it's just the standard thing of... we're playing poker, and the deck will just be handed from person to person to shuffle and cut and deal, which is obviously a very susceptible version of play for any kind of cheating. And I would usually either set myself up or more commonly set up a friend to win, and we would split the pot later.
So you'd stack the deck even as you were shuffling the cards?
Yes.
Unbeknownst to the people who are watching you shuffle the cards?
Yeah.
And would you deal from the bottom or the second card or the third card in the stack?
Yeah, it kind of depends on what we were looking for, but also maybe you would change tack depending on if you thought maybe people were scrutinizing you for a false deal, then maybe you'd switch to a shuffle stack or vice versa or anything like that.
But if you dealt four aces to yourself all the time, which you were skilled enough to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would look bad.
Mm.
So you either got just a good enough hand or you would set somebody else up to win.
That's right. There's a psychology to winning where you don't want to win too big, right? Like, I think, you know, we talk about this in the show where I show how to deal someone the four aces, but then, of course, why would you ever do that? It is so suspicious,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
You really, yeah, like you say, you give someone a slightly better hand than other people, but then, of course, with that, it means you have to give other people slightly worse hands as well as someone else a good hand.
Did you get caught cheating at a casino? Because eventually a casino wanted to hire you to spot other cheaters. Right?
That's right, yeah. Or more specifically, people that work in gaming protection that casinos then hire. But I would work with casinos. I'd work with mainly private games and with casinos and essentially look for foul play. Yeah.
Can I describe what you did for us at the beginning of the show where you shuffled the cards, blew our minds?
Yeah, you can describe that, yeah.
Well, so you spent 5 or 6, 7 minutes just talking to us and talking about your life and your story a little bit, the whole time shuffling the cards and mixing them. And I don't even recall if you cut them, but I thought by the time you got done 5 minutes of manipulating the cards and separating and pushing them back together, that in fact, they would have been thoroughly shuffled. You flipped them over and then displayed that they were all by suit and number in order, that in fact, you had not mixed one card up.
Yeah.
So that if you knew the order of the cards, maybe from a fresh deck, you would know exactly where they were.
Exactly.
We could have left then and felt like we got our money.
Yeah, it's a fun way to start the show because it's just one of those moments where when I turn the deck over, I think for people in the audience, they realize like they are screwed. It's like they're not, it's all over.
But it's not a trick deck.
No.
It's a legitimate deck of cards.
Yeah, everything in the show is done with one legitimate deck of cards, which I think is really important. I think it's like, you know, because once you open the door to marked cards or punched or anything like that, that's all great information. But, I think what's nice about the show is that it really is just a deck of cards and some hands and a table, you know.
Harry Mylis is in our studio. Harry Mylis is a sleight of hand artist and magician performing at the Steppenwolf Garage Space. Unfairadvantage.show is how you get tickets. It runs through May 19th. But you also taught us a little bit about patience, about attitude, about learning, maybe particularly when you were talking about card counting, which whatever your physical dexterity is, your mind is also a great tool that you display in the show. And I want you to talk to us a little bit about that after this on WGN. It is 11:21. You wouldn't ask a doctor to fix your car. Why would you ask an electrician or just some handyman to handle your plumbing? Norman Mechanical Plumbing specializes in plumbing, and that's it. It's one of the reasons that they are the premier plumbing service in Chicagoland. They only hire the best plumbers. Every Norman Mechanical plumber has a minimum 10,000 hours of training, employing the industry's best licensed plumbers. Norman Mechanical. They're ready for any emergency. A broken sump pump, replacing a water heater, a pipe burst, maybe just normal routine maintenance. When you call, a live local plumber answers the phone. Any hour of any day, anywhere in Chicagoland, 2:30 Sunday morning, a holiday, you call this number, the plumber answers the phone. Other guys out there say we do it all. Norman Mechanical says we do one thing, and that's plumbing. And they've done it for me. They do it really well, 24/7. Here's the number, 847-253-2238. Put that in your cell and your contacts. Call a plumber, 847-253-2238. 11:22, Harry Mylis is a sleight-of-hand artist performing at Steppenwolf. Unfairadvantage.show is the website to get tickets to see him through May 19th. Then he goes back home to Australia, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
First tour in Chicago, and he's loving it, and audiences are... What's it like for you to watch us watch you?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I think when you do magic for a living, you don't get to watch much magic anymore, like in the sense that you don't get to see much that fools you. So the best thing I can do is try to get the best reactions out of my audience and watch them. And because you're so close to me during the show, it's great. It's very infectious.
Do you ever make mistakes? Have you ever been caught or... but there's nothing to catch. You're not doing magic. I don't know. Just what's your response to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think like... mistakes are good. I think mistakes are good in this show. Like, people ask me if, like, I make mistakes in the show, you know, because there's moments of, oh, did I do it right? Is it, you know? And the answer is like, yeah, there's actual risk in the show. You know, I'm interested in taking actual risk.
For instance,
in the show.
When you're card counting.
Yeah, exactly.
Describe that for us.
Well, every show, I memorize the order of a deck of cards.
And right in front of us, you turn it over, and then within 60 seconds after scanning them, you memorize them.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
And that's something we do every show. It was the exercise that was given to me by a card counter to train myself up to learn how to card count. And there's really no safety net to doing that. Like, it's just a thing that I do. It's a skill that I've learned.
And then you ask moments later us to call out a number. Somebody said 41. And without even pausing, you said the 41st card is the seven of clubs.
It was a six of spades.
Was it the six of spades last night? So then he counts them out, 1, 2, 3, 2, 2, 2, and turns over that card. It's the six of spades. Mm-hmm. And you only knew that because you memorized the order.
Yeah. And you know, it's like what I'm using there is something called mnemonics, which is memory systems. Some of these systems are thousands of years old.
What was the six of spades mnemonic device for you?
Well, that would be a sub, because S for spades, and then the sound is the mnemonic swap for the number six. So a sub, and I picture like a Subway sandwich, and then because it was at 41, there was a rat inside the Subway sandwich, and rat, R is 4, and T is 1. So, yeah, that was my little coded image for that, and it's still in my head this morning.
I don't know what you just said, but clearly that works. And you were giving us sort of information about how to learn or memorize things. You mentioned that when we shake hands with people and introduce ourselves, we quickly forget their name, even as we pull our hand away.
Yeah.
What were you saying in that part of the show?
Yeah, I mean, that's so like, when we talk about memory and that kind of thing, I think we all worry that we're absent-minded. We all worry that we forget people's names as if we, you know, you always hear people say, oh, I'm good with faces, I'm not good with names. You never hear that the other way around. You never hear someone say, I'm great with names, I'm not good with faces. Like, you know, it's what we talk about in the show is this idea that when you meet people and shake their hand, you go, hi, I'm Harry, and you shake your hand and you say your name back, you go on autopilot. You go completely on autopilot. And what mnemonics was about thousands of years ago, and Aristotle was talking about it, was a system by which you could become more conscious and present in the moment. Because to put it a different way, when you meet people and shake their hand, it's not that you forget the name, it's that you didn't remember it in the first place. And the solution to remembering people's names or looking where you've left your keys because you always put your keys in the wrong place, the solution isn't memory games. The solution is paying more attention to the present moment.
Well, I've always thought that my inability to remember people's names is just a character flaw. I'm not appreciative enough. I'm either too self-centered or why are you snickering?
Because I think that's how... that's such a common human thing. It's how so many people feel, I think, is that, you know, it's I think it's a completely normal thing.
So what would you advise me to do to remember your name?
Well, it kind of depends. Like, there's tips and tricks. There's great, you know, like mnemonic tricks for how to remember people's names. And often what you do is associate the name to something that makes sense to you. So maybe you could associate to me a different Harry. Most people make Harry Potter jokes about me, so you could easily make a Harry Potter joke.
Kind of a Harry Potter look.
Yeah. I got a bit of a Harry Potter look. And so even just that link would probably be enough for that to stick.
Right. So when I see you again, I'll remember the hair?
Mostly, yeah. I mean, yeah, you try to link it to a physical trait that they have, ideally, you know, something like the, yeah.
What is the thing you do in the show that wows people the most?
I mean, to be honest, it probably is remembering the order of a deck, because I think for a lot of people, they just perceive that as something so superhuman. But as to what you've said, like, it's, I try my best to show in the show that, I mean, I say it's taken me 14 years to be able to do that consistently.
How many decks can you memorize at one time?
When I was card counting, I got up to a 9-deck shoe.
So if I did 9 decks, you could memorize the order of them. 450 cards.
Give me 2 weeks to get that skill back up and running, because there's a few different things I'd have to polish back off. But yeah, I could give that for you for sure.
Well, it's nice to talk to you. We did not videotape this conversation, nor did I ask you to display them for us here. We're on the radio. But my colleague, Dave Marzullo, is over there. He's got a camera.
Yeah.
And you'll do something for us during the news and commercial break.
Okay.
You can post with this conversation.
Great. Love that.
I will, too. Harry Mylis, the sleight of hand artist and magician, is at the Steppenwolf Merle Riskin Garage Space. It's just to the left when you're standing in front of Steppenwolf, and the show runs through May 19th. Only 35 people in the audience is a sellout. Real quick, why don't you do 50 or 100 people?
Because the whole point is that you're that far away. That's why we do so many shows in a week, because I want you to be as close as you possibly can. And when you get a big crowd, then you're far away and you don't get to see it.
You could touch the board. Don't while he's doing it. Actually, some people get to. It's amazing. Okay, it runs through May 19th. Unfairadvantage.show for tickets. The news is next.